Well, hi there. This is a sojourner coming to you from the Alpha House, United States of America. We want to welcome those of you who are here and those of you who are and will be listening from around the world. We're going to be thinking in terms in this session of want to move of God? Do you want to move of God? And our scripture will be found in Mark chapter 16, verses 12 through 19. And of course, I'll be reading from the New International Version to allow English speakers around the world equal understanding of the words used. There will be one section here that will have the King James Version on into the message. But our main scripture here is found, as I say, in Mark 16, 12 through 19. And this is just before Jesus ascends into heaven. He's been crucified, he's been buried, he's been resurrected, and now he is, and he spent some time with the apostles, and now he's preparing to go to sit at the right hand of the Father. The scripture starts in verse 12. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creatures, all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on the sick, on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. So, want a move of God? Have you, as a believer, ever longed for a move of God, prayed for a move of God, or expected a move of God? People over many decades have prayed for God to make a big move. Believers have wanted God to step in and bring the power of Christ with great fanfare into the world. This move would then serve to demonstrate to all that God is real, Jesus the Christ is real, and that God's Word is real. How about it? Have you ever wanted to see a big move of God? Have you ever said, "Well, I don't like the way things are going. I wish God would just do some big move to demonstrate himself, to show himself to people, so that people would understand and they would know and they would do what he wanted. And I'd just like to see people treating other people well and wars to stop and all sorts of things to happen." Have you ever said that to yourself? Have you ever thought that sort of thing? Have you ever seen hate and conflict and said, "Oh, you know, that you so much want God to move in there and make a change in it"? Well, let me tell you something. God is always moving. You know, this statement often comes as a surprise to people. The whole of the universe is held in place by God's Word. To observe a move of God, all one needs to do is watch the sun, the moon, and the stars move across the day and the night sky, as the earth also moves within its established path. Now notice I said its established path. There are things that God has established that are there. They are true. Now, I'm not talking about true and false in the same way you think of it there. I'm saying they are true. If you take a carpenter square and you measure a couple boards, or you check a couple boards where they're being joined together to make a 90-degree angle, that will tell you if they're true. A surveyor has a plumb bob that lets him know, is this true? Is something level? You can take a level, and when the bubble is exactly where it's supposed to be in the middle, then it is said to be true. Well, there are things that God has established, and these things are true. The seasons change. The cycle of life and death is played out over and over as God had moved and planned long ago. And those things are still happening today. Still happening. You know, we see people pass on in this life, and they go on to the next life. And we may even look at the newspapers and see a few names here and a few names there. But have you ever stopped to think, if you added them all up in a community, how many people had disappeared from your community within the last year, 2 years, 5 years? Maybe disappeared from your life in the last 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. You see, there are things that are established that are always happening, always moving, because God is always moving. God is a God of moving. Scientists tell us that the whole of the universe, everything is still expanding from one point where it all started. God, my friends, is moving. And we're always looking for a move of God. Well, if God is always moving, then there's maybe a little more we need to look at in that regard to find out about it. Now, you know, for example, Jesus came. I'm assuming that most people who are hearing me know that. Some people around the world may not. They may be listening to this and wonder about that. God moved, you see, through individuals. He's moved through individuals. He moved through Adam. He moved through Noah. He moved through Moses and David and Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah and John the Baptist, just to name a few, leading up to Jesus the Christ. That's Jesus the Messiah. That's Jesus the Savior. Coming to bring what? The great move of God, and perhaps the greatest move of God to all mankind. But there are great moves still to come. The move of Jesus brought salvation, in other words, restoration, to all who would accept Him as Lord and Savior. As I said, perhaps the greatest move of this day is Jesus the Christ. You see, He ushered in God's desire not only to restore mankind to the original position occupied in the Garden of Eden, but to demonstrate mankind's delegated authority and delegated power on the planet Earth, as God had originally intended. You see, God delegated authority and power to mankind, and then it was stolen in the garden by Satan. So Jesus came to fix that, to change that, to put things right, to make things true. Now remember, we're not talking about true and false here. We're talking about true, the way they were to be established, the way it was to be. You see, this can only be understood if a person understands the words God spoke when He created mankind. Well, let's take a look at some of those out of the book of Genesis. Chapter 1 in Genesis, verses 27 and 28. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Well, now look at that. You and I were created, because we're mankind, we're in the image of God. That's really something to ponder. There was a move of God when mankind was created. Verse 28 there, and God blessed them. Listen to that. God blessed them. This is early on in Scripture, and what do we find? God blessed mankind. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Do any of you feel like you're not fruitful? Do you feel like you're not multiplying? that you're not replenishing. Replenishing is more than we're reestablishing things on the earth. It's a cycle. We do it over and over and over again when we replenish. And then what did he say to do? He said, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Dominion. Be in charge of. Be fruitful. That's what he said for us to do. And then, of course, with what happened in the garden, that was interfered with. And dominion was turned over to Satan. And things really got messed up. But you see, believer, to see a move of God, all you need to do is move in faith. Now listen to me. To see a move of God, all you need to do is move in faith. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit so we could not only move in faith, but in doing so, be empowered by the Holy Spirit to demonstrate once again dominion as expressed in Genesis chapter 1. We have dominion. Once you're in God's kingdom, once you've accepted Christ, you have dominion. You have authority and you have power. You do, I do. Our scripture tells us that we are empowered and expected to do. You see, Jesus empowered the 11 there. And he said then what he expected them to do. When you became, or if you've not become, when you become a believer, you have authority, you have a domain, there's an area that you have dominion over, every single person does, and you are empowered to do things within that. And not only are you empowered, you're expected to use that power to do what God placed you here on this globe to do. We who believe are to expect, we are to expect and demonstrate the power of God moving through us on a regular, daily basis. What is that power? It is the power that moves through authority and then through the power to exercise that authority. That is what God expects from us every day we live. That's why you and I are here, to do that very thing. Many years ago, a very successful man told me, success leaves clues. You know, I never forgot that. That made quite an impression on me. But let's look back at those verses in Mark 16, 17, and 18 from our scripture. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, that's Jesus' name, he's saying, in my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. You see, success, power, and authority, it leaves clues. And I never forgot those words that person said to me. I quickly saw that statement could easily be applied to believers being followed or accompanied by the signs of God having moved in and through them. You see, God will move through you because he's moved in you when you accepted him. Then you must practice letting him move through you. Remember, when you do what you've been instructed to do in Scripture, and that takes spending time in the Word to find out what that is, that takes seeking God and spending private time with God as well as public time with God to find out what that is, because you have a purpose. You see, and we must use our faith on purpose. Now think about that for a minute. Do you use your faith on purpose? If you want to see a move of God, and I'm thinking you probably do, I'm thinking many times you've looked at situations in your own life and the lives of others, and you wanted to see a move of God. You see, you can use your faith on purpose, and when you do, there is a move of God. You don't heal people, but being faithful to lay your hands on the sick, being faithful to do the things you've been told to do, allows the Spirit of God to work through you. You say, allows? Well, he's God. He can do whatever he wants to. Yes, he can do whatever he wants to, but he did give us free will, not only to accept or reject him, but free will as to whether or not he can move through us. We must permit him to move through us. How do we do that? We follow what he's told us to do. We lay hands on the sick. In his name, we speak to the illness or we speak to the problem. And then he does what he said he would do after we do what he told us to do. But we spend most of our time, many, many people, I talk to people all the time, and they're looking for some real holy person to show up. Well, the holy person is there. It's called the person of the Holy Spirit in every believer. That holy person is there already, occupying, waiting for you just to follow the instructions and leave clues as to the power of God moving through you every place you go. Because when you succeed in something, clues are left. If it's just a simple matter of doing the dishes, if you don't do the dishes, there are clues. There are no clean dishes. If you do the dishes, there are clues. There are clean dishes. If you lay hands on people and do what the Scriptures have instructed in faith, God will move because you moved, because he moves through you. That's why you're here. That's why he left you here. He left you here with the power and the authority that Adam and Eve had before the fall. And he placed the Holy Spirit in you to protect you, for faith to shield you, for the Word of God to be your sword and take on whatever battle comes up and vanquish the enemy. That's what he did. That's what he's still doing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that means if he would heal 2,000 years ago, he'll heal today. He'll do the same things that he would have done there. He will guide you through all sorts of problems. He will give you honor and favor with people. But you must make the move. You and I must step out, and we must do it. How many people recently this summer, when we took people out to evangelize, to do street-type evangelism, how many of them thought, oh, that won't work with when I do it? And then you went out, and you did it, and what happened? It worked. Why? Because God does what he said he'd do. And clues were left because you stepped out and you did it. There were clues trailing along behind you, accompanying you, just like the Scripture said there would be. Think of that. Because it's so easy to go back to the way it was before and say, well, that happened, but gee, I don't know if it'll happen again. You know that's a lie from Satan? Satan will immediately, God will do a miracle in your life, and Satan will come immediately and say, yeah, well, he did that, but he probably won't do it again. And you find yourself walking in doubt and unbelief instead of in faith. You find yourself not doing what you've been told and instructed to do. You were given a recipe to follow. Follow the recipe. See, believer, you are absolutely a walking, talking move of God when you demonstrate the truth of the words of Jesus regarding the signs that are to follow you. If you're someone who believes, it says that these signs will accompany or follow those who believe. If you're one of those who believe, then guess what? Those signs are going to accompany, they're going to follow you because he said they would, because you were left here. If you look at yourself and what you can't do, you're making yourself actually bigger than God. You're saying, no, I'm choosing I can't do it because I'm bigger than God. What I think about me is more important than what God thought about me, than what God thinks about me, and what God has empowered me to do, because I think I can't do that. I think I can't step up to the plate and make it happen. Well, want a move of God? Do you? You want to see a move of God? Oh, now I know there are bigger moves of God than just what you do, but I will tell you something. You lay hands on a cancer patient and they walk out of the hospital healed. That's everything to them. That's absolutely everything to them. You lay hands on a child's broken leg and that leg is healed. That's everything to that child. And when you've got about 700 or 800 of these situations behind you where God has shown up, you know, you've left a lot of clues. You've left clues that God has allowed you to leave because he kept his word. Now keep your word to him. You said at some time that you would follow him and you would do whatever and you wanted him to come into your heart and you wanted him to do through you and you wanted to live for him. Do you want to see a move of God? Then move. Move with God. Open up. Open up the power, the authority that's been given to you. And use it. It'll change everything about you and it'll change everything about everybody around you. Because that's why you're here, to have dominion. He said for mankind to go out over the whole earth and to subdue everything. Every living creature is supposed to be subject to you. I remember one time I was being attacked by a pack of dogs. They were big dogs. And some of them were guard-type dogs. And they were running through this farmer's field coming at me. And there I was. There wasn't any car for me to get into because I was out walking. There was no place for me to run to. And those dogs were coming just as fast as they could come, just in one line, tongues hanging out the corner of their mouth, you know, saliva flying all over the place, snarling, coming at me. And I said, in Jesus' name, stop. And I think it was 5 dogs or so. They all stopped immediately and turned around. They were nowhere near the fence. So you can't say, well, they knew where their property line was and they just played with people going by, because that wasn't the case. Those dogs came to a screeching halt and turned around. Now, can you imagine what would happen if they had come to me, if I had just said, well, there's nothing I can do. I have no power and authority, but the Scripture says that we have and are supposed to take authority over every living creature. So in that moment, I took authority over those creatures, and they submitted to the name of Jesus. They didn't submit to my name. But I did what I was told to do. And when I did it, he showed up. The power of the Holy Spirit came out and stopped those dogs. Now, I wasn't out there evangelizing those dogs. I wasn't saying to those dogs, you know, you don't go out and evangelize dogs. You know, I wasn't saying to, you know, to some Doberman there, you want to accept Jesus rather than bite me. That wasn't what I was saying. I just commanded them in the name of Jesus, and they stopped like I had flipped a switch. As a matter of fact, I was surprised at how fast they stopped. It was literally instantaneous. And they just turned around and they trotted away from me. I'll never forget that. I think that was about 1988 when that happened. You see, if you want a move of God, you're it. Oh, there are other moves that God's going to do because he's got timings. Yes, and Jesus is going to come back when he's ready for Jesus to come back, and all these things are going to happen. But you are a move of God if you've accepted Christ. Did you know that? You're the very move of God many times you've been praying for, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. When you move, God's moving there. Because it says this will accompany you, there will be signs from it, but you have to employ what you've been told to do to get it to happen. So if you want a move of God, move. Do it. And you'll see a move of God. Well, if you say, I've never accepted this Jesus you're talking about, but that sounds pretty exciting to me. Boy, I would like that. Now, you know, you might just right now just sort of be captivated by the whole idea of boy, I'd have power and authority. Well, there's nothing wrong with having that. But you have that power and authority by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. as both. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, you do that right now. Just pray this prayer with me. Just bow your head right there, wherever you are. Now, if you're driving the car, pull over. And pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I want Jesus to come into my heart and my life. I want Him to fill me with His Holy Spirit and take over my life. I want to serve Him the rest of my life in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer, you now have all the power and authority that Adam and Eve had before the fall. You can now move and see signs accompany you every place you go. Now, if you've maybe gone to the Lord before and your faith kind of waned and you sort of thought that was up for somebody else to do, surely not just you, because then you were thinking about yourself and you weren't thinking about the Lord. You're making the rules instead of the Lord making the rules. Well, you probably need to repent of that right now. You go to the throne and you just say you're sorry. Say, Heavenly Father, I'm sorry. In Jesus' name, I'm back. I want all the fullness of Christ, and I will come back and serve you. Scripture says, if I draw near, you'll draw near to me, and I'm drawing near in Jesus' name. Now, if any of you need some help with this, you contact me. I want to help you. I want to see every person that hears my voice walk in and function in the authority and the power that God meant for them to have. So you contact me. You can call me at a toll-free number in the United States, 800-391-6944. That's 800-391-6944. You can even Google that telephone number and find my website. Our website's right there. Or you can look for the website at sojournershub.org. Now, Sojourners is spelled S-O-J-O-U-R-N-E-R-S. That's Sojourners Hub, all one word. That's Sojourners Hub, H-U-B.org, O-R-G. Or you can send me an email, thesojourner@sojournershub.org. Or you can contact me over Skype. Just contact the Sojourner 3734. Well, I hope you've heard how you can see and be a part of a move of God. I hope you'll do it. I pray you'll do it. I trust you'll do it. You've heard the word, and once you've heard the word, you're never the same again. So I'm going to leave you with this blessing until next time, and here is the blessing for you, the blessing of our Lord on you and all that is yours by blood, adoption, or assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.